And welcome to another episode of Talk Gopher Buckets. I'm Luke Buer.
And I'm Ryan James of Gopher Illustrated.
Well, Ryan, big news today. They let Tubby Smith go.
Yeah, if you guys haven't heard, our whole day was changed upside down. Some message board stuff started coming up, and the next thing you know, facts are facts, Tubby was gone. So, and since then, I mean, it was like 12 hours after they got beat, he was let go. And since then, it's just been a whirlwind of recruiting, whirlwind of coaching rumors that have taken two twists already from the people I've been talking to. So it's been wild already.
Sure. So, Ryan, let's talk a little bit about some of the pros and the cons of the Tubby Smith era. I mean, we've kind of talked about these, you know, at length, but I just want to list out some pros and cons, and you can add to these or talk about them as I go through. But some of the pros, we had our first NCAA win since 1997. I mean, I know that seems, it maybe seems too little, too late, but that's a step in the right direction for the program in some senses.
It is a step in the right direction, but I mean, the pros and cons part works perfectly with this, because the Gophers also, in my opinion, got very lucky with their draw. They played a UCLA team without their second best player, and it was a UCLA team that obviously was having major struggles. Yeah. So, and I mean, UCLA was downright terrible indeed. But on the other hand, you're right. The Gophers did win their first NCAA game in 16 years. But I just, it was nice. It was a good feeling. You know, the team was energized, and it was a step in the right direction. But on the other hand, Andre Hollins is proving that he could have. If he doesn't go pro early at some point, he could be phenomenal. I mean, he's going to be first team All Big Ten, could be All American junior or senior year, maybe. I mean, it's a step in the right direction. But on the other hand, it's the Gophers. They just showed for much too long that there's been a plateau, so to speak. Like, yeah, they're good, but they're just not consistent. And I think everybody was. You know, I think Tubby took this program and took another step with it, improved it, but I don't think he improved it and took it to the next step to the point where you think that he can keep on improving it. He just did a decent job, took it to another level, and now you worry, but you just don't worry that it was going to get any better. And you also, a lot of people are worried that it could get worse. And I think instead of waiting, because I don't think Norwood Teague thought this team was going to get that much better, they were proactive in their approach and, no, I think it was the right decision. But yeah, probably did some good things. I mean, he'll go down in the history books as, you know, the guy that got them back in the tournament. If we got him back in the tournament 3 times in 6 years, got the team a win for the first time in 16 seasons, beat a number one ranked team for the first time in 24 seasons. I think that was.
Yeah, 20. You know? I think it's 23 or something. It's kind of ironic because my sister was born the day that they actually won or beat a number one at home again. So yeah,
Illinois.
So in addition, you know some of the other things, I don't think people really take into consideration how horrible this program was, you know, at times during the Dan Munson era, and you know, the depths it had to come out of from the academic scandal, etc. And there has to be, you know, there kudos to Tubby. I mean, They did everything right? They didn't cheat. You know, he had he went through the right hoops and did it the right way. You have to give him some credit for that.
Yeah, I mean, they graduated players.
Yep.
They did. There was never going to be a recruiting violation with them. When on the underground, when guys were asking for this and that, Tubby would not go there. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's a positive. You know, even though, you know, people on the surface don't see that, you know, other teams that cheat get away with stuff.
Yep.
You know, but yeah, that's a positive. I mean, other things, he also took this team to the Big Ten championship, and no one else has ever done that.
Oh yeah.
I don't believe. And you know, and they won that game against Louisville, and they won some of those tournaments that they had some really good victories, especially that win in
that Puerto Rico shootout, they won that tournament.
So. Yeah, so I mean, there were definitely positives. I just, and Tubby will walk out of here with a program taking a step in the right direction from the Dan Munson era, and it was terrible. But I'm going to dispute a little bit. I mean, I'm going to dispute a little bit to the point that, you know, Dan Munson's teams, even Tubby's better teams, good teams are better than Dan Munson's better teams. I would say that was, you know, obviously Jeff Hagan's senior year was on par with some of the Tully's best teams, but for the most part, Dan Munson's teams weren't that good, which they had the same feel in terms of when Dan Munson's teams were talented and not getting it done with Gary Holman, Rick Pickard, Mike Bauer, Dusty Reichert, that had the same feel as this year with Rodney Williams, Trevor McLaughlin, Andre Hollins, blah, blah, you know, Austin Hollins, on and on and on. That is the same feel of talent, but not getting it, getting the most out of it. And that is where the frustrating part thing is. The frustrating part came in. The only thing with Dan Munson's program was that happened early. And that's why I always will dispute the academic scandal part, because the academic scandal part did not, the one thing it did was take away an NCAA berth from a team that may have got there in Joel Prisbella's sophomore year, had Joel, you know, let's say Joel doesn't get kicked off team, they had the record to maybe go there. And in the years that were after that, Dan Munson had some good recruits. It was not the academic scandal's fault that Dan Munson didn't improve Mo Hargrove, that he didn't make Rick Rickard, you know, a more consistent all-around player, that he didn't, that Mike Bauer got hurt, you know, on and on and on and on. That's not the academic scandal's fault. That was Dan Munson's fault. Now, and you had similar feelings with a lot of the current Gophers. Some of these guys just haven't gotten better. Ralph Sampson, Rodney Williams, you know, they're good examples of potential that never maximized. And then the one thing they also had in common with Tubby, with Dan Munson, is there was a ton of transfers. And it wasn't just guys leaving that weren't that talented. It was guys that were really talented leaving.
Right.
You know, so that's the next thing. And the last thing that really hurts them, I think, is there just wasn't much connection and relationship between him and the players. And those guys just weren't going to, he wasn't going to bat for the kids at the end team, and vice versa.
Yeah, I think another thing that people overlook in terms of recruiting is he really struggled to recruit a point guard, like a true point guard. And that hurt them. I mean, he inherited Al Nolan, right? He didn't recruit Al Nolan.
No, he inherited Al. I mean, Al could have went somewhere, but Al was already signed, and I don't think there. You know, I guess they could have let him out, but Al wasn't going anywhere else. No, I mean, he was initially offered by Oklahoma, I believe, along with Minnesota, and there's a couple others, or maybe they had just shown interest. But Al was a Gopher; he was going to be a Gopher. So, I mean, probably there was nothing that was really going to change there.
Right, right, and you know, other things that maybe are cons, I think a big glaring issue was missing the NCAA tournament in year five is kind of unacceptable. I know they had to deal with some injuries and, you know, and all sorts of stuff, but that to me, that should be you're starting to peak, and, you know, in year six this year should have been, you know, the home run. And, you know, at times it looked like it was, but in other times I think the expectations of the early season success really, really hurt Tubby in that sense.
Yeah. Well, when you look back, like you had said, you were talking about year five. I'll go back to year three. Well, year three, when they lost, was 7-9 games.
Sure.
Now, they made a turnaround and got themselves to the NCAA tournament, and that's when they went to the Big Ten finals. But why was there that gap? Why was there that 7-9 gap with that much talent on that team? What happened there? And it's similar, like year three was kind of similar to this year. Like, they're on a roll, and all of a sudden there was a terrible streak of losses. And then, you know, they picked UCLA, went up, but just for that, there was 11 losses in 16 games. You know, and then year four, Al Nolan goes out, DeVoe transfers, and it goes to nothing. I mean, that's all great. They went from having an NCAA chance to nothing.
Yep.
And then last year is another example of the year three struggle, the struggle this year, and last year it was the February slide again. And the NIT run is almost, you know, as good as it may have been, it was almost a slap in the face, too. Like,
right.
Where was all this? You know, if you can get this out now, why couldn't we get this out in the middle of the Big Ten season?
Right.
And he was never, all those years we talked about, he just was never able to get his guys to play consistently in the Big Ten, with the exception of maybe year two.
Yeah, and even in year two, like look at the whole body of work. He was never above 500. I mean, and you just can't dispute that. But I want to go back to year four. Year four was the year, I believe, that they actually won that Puerto Rico shootout, and they were at one time ranked, I think, 13th in the country. And then Virginia visited for the ACC tournament. They had a huge lead. They blew that lead, and you know the injuries derailed that season as well. But I mean, the injuries and transfers, but I mean, that was another one, very much like this season, you know, early expectation, or, you know, early success leads to expectations that aren't fulfilled. And I think that that is just, to me, the bottom line, kind of to summarize the Tubby Smith era, is early expectations that just aren't ever fulfilled in Big Ten play.
That's basically the reason why we are sitting here talking about this discussion. If they would, if there would have been more consistent basketball in the Big Ten season,
yeah,
Tubby Smith would still be the Gopher basketball coach.
All right, so now let's take this a little different angle. So, you know, people look at Minnesota sports in general, right? And they, you know, we're told we shouldn't settle for mediocrity with, you know, with the Glenn Masons of the world, etc. And then now today, you know, nationally, Norwood Teague's getting bashed because we let go of Tubby Smith, who, you know, all in all, great person, right? Didn't have the success, though, and it was a mediocre program, and now he's getting bashed for it.
He's getting bashed by people that Tubby knows, that are Tubby's friends. That's who he's getting bashed by. He's getting a coach who you. I got off the phone before I called you. I got off of the phone who is a coach who is a Minnesota alumni, who's out in the Minnesota coaching world, or excuse me, in the college basketball coaching world. He told me exactly the truth. He said everybody out there looks at Minnesota like a mediocre program, and what are they doing getting rid of Tubby? Why are they paying $3 million a year to Tubby, who took them to a mediocre spot when they weren't even that? It's because they don't understand. They're not involved. They don't see the day-to-day operation. Mm-hmm. And even if they did, what do they have to gain by bashing Tubby? When Tubby was close to a lot of these people, Tubby knows them, is friends with them, has good relationships with them, they're going to stick up and go to bat for Tubby. But on the inside, do you think Tom Izzo was really sitting in his coaches' meetings, completely scared about being out-recruited by Tubby Smith? Do you think he was worried about Gavin Schilling getting taken from him by Tubby Smith?
Yeah,
he was worried about getting, you know what I mean? Would he be worried about losing Tyus Jones to Tubby Smith? No, he's not. Tubby Smith, he's not worried about, you know, they beat Michigan State this year, and that is another thing to add on to the list of what he did do. But for the most part, it's been 6 years. Recruiting's getting worse. Relationships with the players are getting worse. You see that it's a decline. So why would you keep allowing the decline? You know, most programs would not do that. Why do Minnesota have to settle for doing that? Right. Why do we have to let it get worse like we did Dan Munson? I don't understand. You know, the reason that Ashley, and the other thing, Jeff Goodman spoke up and said, "Yeah, I think it was good for Minnesota to fire him."
Right.
You know, Dick Vitale. I don't know if Dick Vitale spoke up today, but he definitely spoke up and said Minnesota was one of the worst teams to go in the Big Ten tournament, but the most disappointing teams. So I mean, You're going to see people sticking up for Tubby because he's been in the coaching fraternity for a long time. But it's been a struggle here. And you know what? In Minnesota, are we taking a chance? Maybe. Maybe the next coach bombs. But I don't mind that. You know, then you got to talk about the hire that was made. But you can't dispute the fact that they get, you know, the problem getting rid of Tubby. It's the same argument with Glenn Mason. I mean, Tim Rooster was terrible. But I don't mind the hire. I don't mind the change of coach. I mind the hire, because Mason was obviously given the same factors where Tubby Smith was during the end of his career.
Right. Yeah, I mean, ultimately what it's going to come down to is the decision to fire Tubby, you know, from a Gopher perspective, it all hinges on the hire, and it hinges on the success of the following coach. So, like we say time and time again, time will tell, but, at this point, I think it looks like the right move. It's a completely anti-Maturi move, which to a lot of Minnesota people is really refreshing.
Yep. No, people are excited around here, and because they're making a move that we all feel should be made, and obviously being in the athletics department, he felt that move should be made. It's not a Dan Munson move where, like, Joe Maturi was going to fire him a year before and then got cold feet. You know what I mean?
Yeah. In one sense, I think you said it earlier this year, something about delaying the inevitable. If inevitably he's going to be fired, what's the difference between this year and next year? You might as well just do it 1 year ahead, right? If you're going to be rebuilding a program, it might as well happen now rather than later.
And I can tell you something else. the Sid Hartman sitting there screaming at Norwood Teague during the thing, they build relationships with recruits. No, that is, if they get the right hire, that relationship was not, they will improve it. I can tell you with 100% factual information that one of the top three recruits that we've been talking about, that everybody knows, they're very interested. And, excuse me, two of the top three, and it could be all three, I don't know. I've talked to associates of two of the three, one of them in particular, and they've said that they are very excited to hear who the new coach is.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, I think there is a chance that the right hire is made that you could pull two of the three. And I'm saying that right now. I think you would pull two of the three if the right hire is made.
Right. Well, now let's – I think we talked about this last week, how, you know, coming in with a new coach, and especially from a recruiting perspective, guys want to be on the uptick of a program, right? They want to be the difference makers, you know. They want to be a part of an early program. People can sell hope early in a season, early in a regime. Now look at Tubby. I mean, some of his best recruiting classes were those first couple of years. And I know they didn't pan out, but you know, the year that they landed DeVoe Joseph and Ralph Sampson in 2008, and then 2009 with Rodney Williams and Royce White, right? I mean, those were by far their probably two best recruiting years in terms of who they signed. I know the classes didn't pan out, but like you said, if you make the right hire, 2014 and 2015 in terms of in-state recruits is about as good as it gets.
It's about as good as it gets, and it's about the recruiting. Now, I'm going to pitch you the five best recruiting classes I can think of in Gopher basketball history since I've been alive. One of them was the crew, and I don't know exactly if they were all together or not. I'm pretty sure they were. One of them was the crew of Melvin Newborn, Willie Burton, Richard Coffey, that crew. Mm-hmm. What'd they do? Sweet 16 Elite Eight. The next crew, I guess you could put Sam Jacobson and Eric Harris in there. That's kind of a small class, but I mean, we'll throw them in there as the sixth one. That class was huge. They took them to a Final Four. The next class after that, Courtney James, Charles Thomas, Mark Jones, Bobby Jackson, Miles Tarver, and there was one more who I'm forgetting. There was two JUCO. Yeah, I'm not sure who the other one was. But they had that crew. Well, that crew should have took them to an NCAA tournament, and then they took them to the Final Four. The next crew, Rick Rickard, Mo Hargrove, Jerry Holman. That was a great recruiting class. Munson failed with them. Next class, DeVoe Joseph, Ralph Sampson, Colton Iverson, Devon Bosser, JUCO Player of the Year. Great class, but most of them transferred. The others didn't pan out.
Right.
The last class, Royce White, Rodney Williams, Trevor McLaughlin, Justin Cobbs. Two of them transferred. One of them didn't really shine, didn't fulfill his potential, although he'll forever be a highlight film. And the other one was, you know, played a little bit better than everybody, and Trevor played a little better than everybody expected. So there you have five, maybe six topper classes. You know, Clem got the best out of his top classes. Munson and Tubby did not get the best out of theirs, and that's why we're here today.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think you know, I wouldn't say that we're going to break any information in terms of who the coach might be. At least I obviously am not. But I'd be interested to hear, you know, who you would feel comfortable with as a hire, not who you want necessarily, and not who you think it's going to be, but what kind of a coach would you be comfortable with coming into the University of Minnesota?
I don't know.
And it doesn't have to be a name. I should preface that. You know, what qualities are we looking for?
I'll tell you a name. I don't know that the Gophers can get Buzz Williams. His name's been coming up all evening. I don't, you know, it's talking about it on Gopher Illustrated. There's been rumors that there may have been, you know, him and Norwood Teague have past relationships, and Marquette and Buzz Williams have had some struggles with the president, with the AD. There was a suspension earlier in the year. There's something else. I don't remember it all. I'm not a Marquette fan, so I don't know. But, like, there's some rumors that maybe there's a connection there. Like, maybe Norwood Teague reached out to Buzz. And maybe he did. Maybe even Joel offered the job. Who knows? But that's not to say Buzz is going to take it, because Marquette's got a lot of good things going. They got good talent coming in. And the Sweet 16 three straight years. He's making $3 million a year. Great facilities. Great tradition. But if they could reach out and get him, that would be a hell of a hire.
Yeah.
That would be a big time. That's a hard-working, blue-collar, hard-nosed recruiter who's young, has a young family. He's going to be in this game for a long time to come. That's the type of guy I want. Fred Hoiberg. Let's say Fred Hoiberg wants to come into the Big Ten, come back to Minneapolis where he spent a lot of time. I would be comfortable with that hire because he's okay to take risks. He's okay to go get a Royce White.
Yeah.
Who a lot of people, obviously, Tubby Smith couldn't manage. You know, some of the high schools down here, AAU coaches couldn't manage a guy. Fred Hoiberg manages to get him to play. Now, I don't know what happened off the court. Maybe he swept some things under the rug. Maybe they got him to perform, you know, exceptionally and got him to behave. I don't know. But he's got, you know, Iowa State's gotten pretty far with those transfers the last couple of years. So I would be, I like the way they play too, to a degree. I think that'd be a decent hire. Jay Wright, maybe? I mean, let's say Jay Wright's in here next year. If you're worried about not having a power forward next year, well, Jay Wright's the right guy because he'll throw four guards out there in one post and roll.
Yeah, he'll basically play no post if he could.
Yeah, I like Greg Marshall, although I think he's a Southern guy and he's going to wait until he gets a Southern job. I'm still not comfortable with Shaka Smart. I know that they're probably going balls out for him. As a matter of fact, the rumor is that if Flip Saunders has told some of his friends who have leaked out to the media that he hasn't quite heard from you that much, and that Shaka Smart's the guy he thinks they're going after, which could very well be. I don't know. I mean, Shaka Smart seems what I like about Shaka Smart, hardworking guy, and he's very, very moralistic. He's going to get the best out of his kids, and he's not going to put up a crap. I like Shaka Smart. But I don't know that he's a Big Ten coach. Maybe he is, maybe he is. I have no idea. I don't watch VCU enough to know if there's a lot of Big Ten type stuff in their game. Obviously, it's not totally, but I mean, maybe there is some things that would work. I don't know. So that's kind of where I'm at on that. Personally, if I had to guess, I would say that two of the guys, I think there's a short list, and I think Shaka Smart and Buzz Williams are on that list. But that's not to say that Shaka is going to take the job. You know, that's not to say Buzz Williams is going to take that job. I think UCLA is going after both of them, by the way.
Yeah, okay, let's switch a little bit. Do you have faith? Okay, I'll start it with what makes me happy is we're not hiring a search firm. That means they're on top of this. Mike Ellis and Norwood Teague know what the heck they're doing, and they do because of this whole Villa 7 program that they've brought in. You know, we've had a couple questions about what Villa 7 is and what does it do. Essentially, it's a networking event, right? It's a networking event for athletic directors and college basketball coaches, particularly up-and-coming assistant coaches, and helping them find the right fit. You know, and obviously Shaka Smart's been a part of that program. Buzz Williams been a part of that program. You know, names.
Josh Pastner.
You know, names we've already brought up. And so, you know, these guys have connections. They are plugged in. They don't really need a recruiting firm to help them find coaches. I mean, they're already on top of it. Heck, they practically are the recruiting firm in some sense. So I have faith in that. And also on top of that, I have faith that the decision was made swift and quickly. It wasn't an afterthought, much like many of the Maturi hires. I don't know what you think about that.
I like that it was swift. I like that they have a confident approach. I mean, I think everybody knew. You know, the booster. I'm not sure if you heard this, but the booster club. There's some booster club members that have been kind of leaking information saying that this was going to happen unless there was a Sweet 16 run.
Right.
And you know, I mean, it's kind of been leaked. So therefore, they've been on top of this for a while, and I like the firm action getting after it right away. My only worry with them being basketball people with the Villa 7 is they're not too confident, that they're not too arrogant about this. And I don't know if they are. I don't know the guys whatsoever. I don't know either of them from my neighbors or from my neighbors across the street who just moved in this little community. That made no sense unless you lived in my house, by the way. That's a terrible analogy.
That's fine. It works for me.
Awful. We got people moving in and out around here in our area all the time. But anyway, I just hope that they're not too arrogant, because this is still Minnesota. You know what I mean? This has been a program that since Clem Athens left, it hasn't really been, you know, since four NCAA tournament trips in 14 years.
Yeah.
So I'm just hoping that they're not, I'm hoping that they had a really good feel for somebody that they're going to be able to get, and they're not just counting on the fact that they think they can get somebody. That's my one worry with it.
Let's be real. Minnesota is not a destination job, probably by any means. As much as, you know, we are fans and we're Minnesotans, it's not probably a destination job for most guys.
No, man.
It's maybe a destination job for certain people, for the right person. I think it would be a destination job for a Tim Miles or a Ben Jacobson, but I don't think it's a destination job for, you know, the names that are thrown around like Brad Stevens and Shaka Smart.
No, I don't think so, and I really – shoot, man, we both grew up here. What would you rather be? Would you rather be in Florida Gulf Coast and in Fort Myers right now, or would you rather be here?
Well, yeah,
I love Austin, Minnesota. I don't want to live there. You know, I love downtown Minneapolis, but I think I'd rather be on the beach.
Let's be real, too. We've talked about this countless number of times, but in terms of facilities, and that's what sells programs these days, it seems like, the Gophers are miles behind in basketball. I mean, it's not even close. They're not going to sell based on facilities. You're selling based on the community, you know, the after college potential. You're going to sell based on playing time and everything else to recruits. I mean, they need a serious upgrade in the facilities, and they know that, and that's definitely a focus, and they have to be, you know, to whoever they bring in, they have to be selling them, we will have you a practice facility next number of years, even though, like, you know, Maturi told Tubby that, and that never happened.
Yeah, oh, definitely. I mean, it's a situation where, I don't know. It's a tough situation.
It's a tough situation, and it's tough too because you have a public perception where this is a pro sports town. I don't think there's any question about it. And there has been some success from players, you know, in this state. So automatically the assumption is you should get all the in-state players and you can build around them. Well, the fact of the matter is you're not going to get to keep a Tyus Jones and a Rashad Vaughn every year. And you're not going to find all the guys like the Nate Walters and the Mike Muscala's of the world that get away and have successful careers. You have to recruit nationally. You also have to recruit locally. It's a difficult task.
It is a difficult task, especially, I think, locally, I think you can get one every two stars locally, and I think you can get some national guys to come in, although I don't think you're going to get any stars. You're going to have to get some solid role guys to come in nationally. But my thing is, I would like to see the Gopher coaches grab a Minnesota guy who's a little under-recruited, see something that he does, and develop him. I would like to see a Mike Muscala get developed here, even though nobody thought he was going to be that good. I would like to see a Nate Walters get developed here, even though people didn't. I would like to see that happen. Tubby would never do that.
Yeah.
You know, Dan Munson tried to, it took a couple of those guys. But, I mean, Tubby Smith never would. You know, and I would like to see when they get in a spot where they have four open Springer spots, instead of taking Mo Walker, who's another big guy that can't move, along with, you know, to go with Ellie Elias, who's already limited in mobility, go get Alec Brown from Minnesota, or go get a Kevin Nurin. You know, I mean, Kevin's not having a great career, but at least he went after a Minnesota kid. Kevin's not, is just as good as, just as productive, if not more, than Mo Walker and Otto Oceanics.
Right.
You know, and that's my thing. Like, well, how about Jordan Arjett? Jordan Arjett was coming out of a prep school in 2010, and he didn't get any Minnesota looks, but never got on me, he did.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I always agree with the Tubby Smith philosophy in recruiting, much like you. I'm not a huge fan of, obviously, the spring recruiting, but, you know, I think part of the reason they're doing some spring recruiting is because they're losing out on big-name recruits. I mean, look at the likes of Michigan State. Michigan State went all in on Jabari Parker. They lost him to Duke, and, I mean, they have to settle for Gavin Schilling, who we would have taken, you know, it would have been a joyful day if he committed, but for them, that's their spring cleanup. And I don't know, when you go all in on some recruits, sometimes you have to pick up the pieces.
Yeah, you do. And you got to have the right backup plans. I mean, next year, what if we have Graham Woodward coming into the Gopher program next year? You feel confident because maybe he can handle the ball and Andre Hollins play off guard.
Yeah.
If I'm in that job has to fall in love with Maverick Ahanmiki or Andre's playing point guard again, we can't always take advantage of his skills to score. That's another thing. Like, how about a new coach? What's a new coach going to think of Maverick Ahanmiki? Are they going to be okay with his ability?
Yeah, I mean,
I don't know, man.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that's difficult because in one sense it's 1 year, right? But are they going to set a precedent like this is the standard that we, you know, we're at? Let's see, scholarships, they're 1 year renewable. They're not, you don't get them for 4 years guaranteed.
Yeah. So, hey, Luke, I got to end it up. Care 11th coming on with the Why I Care coming on right now that I was on. So I'm going to go check that out.
All right. So why don't you go get your TV time and I'll post the podcast.